He's one of those players where he's so great, it's he really should be untradeable.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. Welcome back to Intentionally Foul, the sports podcast where we talk about anything and everything, and nothing is off limits and everything is out of bounds. How are we doing today, Jacob?
I'm doing all right, man. Just relaxing.
Yeah, I get that, man. Most of my days so far have been relaxing. Been spending some time out by the pool, and I heard some crazy stuff out there just listening to the people around me. So I'm going to start making a list of things that I hear other people say because I cannot believe it sometimes. There's this girl. She said, wow, last weekend I went to this party with my friend, right? And she was pretty hammered, and she was showing her tits off for these guys to give her free beer. But okay. She was so drunk, she forgot to get the beer afterwards. And then the guys took off, and as they're backing out of their parking space, they hit a car and then drive off. The only way to make this worse is if it was that chick's car, but I don't think it was.
Oh my God. That sounds like a hell of a fucking story.
Yeah, so wherever she's going for parties, I'm going to have to make sure that I get an invite next time.
Yeah, I feel that way.
Yeah, but today we got some good talking points, including Jameis Winston, different brands in sports, and some of the worst trades we've ever seen. So how do you want to start this off?
Let's start with Winston.
Okay, so he's an interesting case, yeah. For sure.
I mean, he is a character. He is one of the only only member of the 30 touchdown, 30 interception club.
Yeah, it's something that I never thought I would see in my life. But the reason why we need to talk about Jameis recently is because of this offseason, some recent comments he's made. Recently, he's gone on record saying he's one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game, currently where he's at in his career right now. What do you think?
I don't think that he's even fucking close.
No, I mean, it's one of the most odd and unexpected statements I've heard from a guy like that in a while. I think he has potential, but to say that you're already one of the best ever, that list must be pretty long by his standards if you're already one of the best.
I think statistically, because I believe last year he threw for over 4,000 yards, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And so I think over his span of his career, at the point that he is in his career, statistically, he is in the top 100 of quarterbacks. But I don't think that he's even close to the GOATs, like at the quarterback position.
Yeah, because he's only made one Pro Bowl appearance, and he doesn't really have any playoff wins to show for it, any championships, nothing like that. And you kind of look at him individually then, you say, okay, what are his numbers and could they be good enough? And that's where it gets really interesting because he gets worse as he gets better. Every year up to this last season, his numbers were going down for yards and touchdowns. This season happens. Both of those things go up, but the interception rate skyrockets too.
Yeah. I think the interception rate went up because he got more confident.
Yeah, he's very cocky. If you look at some of the things he's said in the past, you can see how he may be overly confident. He was pretty confident he was going to face Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl first year in the league, and I don't really know anyone else who does that.
Yeah, I mean, and the crab leg incident.
Yeah.
That is only somebody that would do that would have to have a shit ton of confidence.
Oh, definitely. There was definitely a point early in his career where he didn't care that much and just kind of shake it off. That's what I think translates to his game, because with all these interceptions and all these touchdowns, you're getting too confident that everyone's going to just make it to the receiver or tight end. So that's probably why the interceptions are going up with the touchdowns as well.
Do you think that if Drew Brees retires after this NFL season, if it happens, do you think that Jameis would be the starter on the Saints?
I like him better as a QB heir to Drew Brees than Taysom Hill, because Taysom Hill, you will say, okay, more of his plays do connect, but he's made way fewer plays where he's throwing the ball than Jameis has. And we just haven't seen enough from Taysom Hill playing a full-time game at QB.
Yeah, I think Taysom Hill is good as the Swiss Army knife, but I don't think that he is that good as a quarterback.
Right. I just really don't know how that would really translate. You'd have to even try him out for maybe one game before even thinking about it. But with Jameis joining, I think it's great for the Saints. He's taking a huge pay cut to do it. He's getting a Harvard education at quarterback with their coaching going on. And I really hope nothing but the best for him coming up. But if I was the Saints, I wouldn't even be that worried about going from Drew Brees to Jameis. Obviously, it's going to be a downgrade because Drew Brees is amazing and we've already seen what he can do. But it's not like a complete toss-up.
Yeah. I do think that if Jameis is the backup this year, and it's like, I do believe that he'll get an extension.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. So we've seen the Saints
work well with their backup QBs. I mean, when Bridgewater went in, he was playing near perfect football for that entire four-game stretch where Brees was out. Actually playing so well to the point where some Saints fans were saying, keep him at QB and then let Drew sit out a little longer, you know?
Yeah, I do think, so I'm a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater. Back when he was on the Minnesota Vikings. And I swear to this day, he would have carried the Vikings to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. He just got cucked by teams because of the injury, which is really unfair because you count him out way too early.
Yeah, I think that injury, I'm telling you, dude, I still remember that day like it was yesterday. Mm. We were 4-0 in the preseason, even though like preseason wins don't really mean that much in the grand scheme of the whole year. But then he just randomly, you turn on the news, Teddy Bridgewater torn ACL. And I'm just like, no, that's the season. Because we didn't have, I don't remember who the backup of that year was. I'm pretty sure we literally, 2 days after that happened, we traded for Sam Bradford. And then Bradford was average.
Yeah, it was so unexpected that the Vikings were really scrambling for a plan B. They really did have some faith in Bridgewater when he was playing before the injury, and you really needed him that year too, because in that division, Rodgers was at one of his best seasons statistically, and then Stafford was also doing pretty good things too, so it would have been nice to have another competitive QB playing the entire time.
Yeah, and they had the weapons on the run game and pass game. The defense was stellar. I'm telling you, they would have been a real threat in the NFC.
Yeah, I would have loved to see that. You definitely hate when that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, do you have like another, do you think like, what other injuries do you think cut athletes short?
Oh man.
We're on the topic.
If you're a quarterback, anything that happens to your arm is going to matter. It's not like you can just use the other one, like your off arm, to make a throw. Running backs, anything knee related, you're going to need explosiveness, tendons in that case. Receivers too, you see Dez Bryant, he tears his Achilles after the Saints acquire him, and no one is even interested right now in giving him a serious shot, so we don't really know. It really depends on position and how severe the injury actually is, I'd say.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel like a lot of players, unfortunately, the career, like we talked about in the last episode, we talked about how like Isaiah Thomas, his career, his prime got cut because of his hip injury that he had.
Yeah, and you can't forget about Derrick Rose either.
Yeah, or like Brandon Roy.
Yeah, huge what-if cases.
Yeah.
You look at Penny and Grant Hill and Trace McGrady. Just it happens to some of our favorite players, unfortunately.
Yeah, that might have to be a topic for an episode down the road.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely talk about that some more. But to conclude on Jameis, I'd say if he said, I can be one of the greatest one day, I'll give him a little more credibility there because he's still young. He doesn't need the athleticism that he has to keep going. He has a good arm, so he's pretty durable there, and he's got great coaching for moving forward. So best of luck, Jameis.
Yeah, we're all rooting for you here.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But what do you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about the battle of the brands. Specifically, Nike, Jordan, Adidas, and Under Armour.
Right. With these brands, you have many different players across many different leagues. I took more of a basketball-focused approach with this because pretty prevalent among some of the best in the game here. So for Nike, I'm looking at the list here. You got LeBron, Giannis, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. I'd say for their positions, they're very unique. We've never seen anyone like a Kyrie with the handling and quickness and sort of approach to the game that he has. He's kind of his own guy. LeBron is just, he's a Swiss Army knife in himself. Never seen that to this extent. Giannis is the Greek freak, you know, like he's as unique as he is and very athletic, durable, just tall as hell, good handles. KD might go down as the most skilled offensive player that we've seen at the end of the day. And so that's what really sets them apart for the rest of the brands that I'm looking at here.
Yeah, KD is definitely, I think he's going to go down as one of the league's best shooters.
Yeah, because everyone says he's 6'9 or 6'10 on his drafting prospect, but he's actually came out and said he was 7 feet. He just was lying so he wouldn't get drafted at center or something like that.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he just wanted to play small forward, get more possessions. But
I got other people that are on Nike. So we got like Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Neymar, Rafael Nadal, Tiger Woods, Odell, Mike Trout, and Kendrick Lamar.
Right, I kind of forgot about that Kendrick.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Because I think Nike has the best coverage of all sports. They have literally one of the top three athletes in each sport. They have them.
Right. If you want to compare these Nike athletes to one another, even across sports, we look at soccer and Ronaldo like other people overseas look at LeBron in basketball, because we're not around to see them play live or anything, but you see them all the time on TV and they're just fun to watch no matter where you live in the world.
Yeah, I feel like it's between Nike and Adidas when it comes to soccer. For the most part around the world, Adidas has the control. Like they have Messi. Gareth Bale, I believe, is also on Adidas. They have so many high respect, like soccer players, on their roster. And I think that sets them apart when it comes to soccer.
Yeah, with Adidas and soccer, it's almost a staple because you think of the three-stripe cleats and soccer. And it's just a very, it's like a very aesthetic kind of thing, you know, like a symbol.
All right, let's go into Jordan. The Jordan brand, which is part of Nike. I think Nike is by themselves. Now, I think it's between Jordan, Adidas, and Under Armour for second place.
Yeah, Jordan's got a lot of really good talent on here. I mean, in this, would we include Michael Jordan himself?
Correct.
Or would he be Nike because he started out at Nike? I don't know where I'm going to put him.
I would put him in Jordan brand.
Yeah, that just seems more fitting, you know. For athletes here, we got Zion Williamson, got Carmelo Anthony, Blake Griffin, Westbrook, to name a few in basketball. Zion, he's been doing great things ever since he stepped onto the court, but we still got a lot more to see. If you look at these other players like Melo and Russ, they do take a very Jordan-esque approach to the game where they're taking a lot of shots. I know Jordan kind of seeks out players that he likes watching to signed to his brand, and he's gone on record saying that Westbrook reminds a lot of himself approaching the game mentally, and you can kind of see that. So if these guys all played in the same team, Melo and Russ are kind of selfish people, would there be enough passing going on, way too many misses? I mean, it's kind of like when Melo was playing with AI and the Nuggets and they didn't really do much there because they're both, you know, they have tunnel vision, they're pretty selfish.
Yeah, I also, from another players, a couple more other players that are on the Jordan brand for basketball, at least, are D Wade and I believe Ray Allen. And we can't forget Maya Moore, star of the Minnesota Lynx.
Right. With the Jordan brand, they've done a really good job of acquiring other athletes. And I like how they're incorporating Jordan into football now, too, because I know Michigan, University of Michigan, they're wearing Jordan cleats. Or that's their brand now.
Yeah, I think it's all like I think they first started with Randy Moss, and then it went to Marvin Harrison, and then now it's just all over the place.
Right. So I see the Jordan brand doing nothing but growing in the future, and it's on the rise, even though it's already been established for a while. So props to them, but I can't put them above Nike by any means.
Yeah, I mean, for shit, they have they have the Wolverines, right? And they also have the Tar Heels. Like, all of their athletic department is Jordan brand.
Yeah, and when Jordan brand first came on the scene, no one could have predicted that it was going to translate this well.
Yeah.
Like, into other sports, which is just impressive. So, moving on to the next one, Under Armour. This one's pretty interesting. Steph Curry is obviously the face of Under Armour right now, but what's funny is Seth Curry is also sponsored by Under Armour. So, quite a backcourt there.
Yeah.
Gotta love those two guys. Also have Embiid, Dennis Smith Jr., Manuel Moutier, Patty Mills, Mo Bamba. Well, Mo Bamba's just got the clout. We all know why.
Yep.
Embiid does get hurt a lot. I do like his talent, but he's not available enough. Doesn't work too hard off the court. Dennis Smith Jr. and Moutier have been nothing but disappointments so far in their career. And Patty Mills is on his way out in the next little bit or so. So, I mean, if you want to compare talent, I can't put Under Armour above the previous players, but they've done a great job of acquiring what's available to them.
Yeah, I feel like they have a better grasp on athletes outside of basketball. Like, they have Michael Phelps. Mm-hmm. They have Julio. They have Tom Brady. Like, they have a pretty good stack of players outside of basketball.
Yeah, they're on the rise with basketball, which I like to see. But outside of it, yeah, they're a powerhouse. And their shoes alone, just they're looking a lot better than they ever have before.
Yeah, I remember at the beginning, they looked like shit. And now they're a lot better. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with its spread on baseball. Because I believe they have Cody Bellinger, Buster Posey, and Bryce Harper. Three big names in baseball. I mean, not Mike Trout level, but pretty big. And they're actually starting to look good. Like, baseball is starting to move away from Nike and more into Under Armour.
Yeah. One thing I really wouldn't like to see is just like a monopoly with these kind of guys. I mean, Nike is all over the place now, but it's just too boring if it's one company.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad Under Armour is doing what they're doing, because I think they're going to accelerate that movement.
Yeah. A celebrity that Under Armour has is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he's under contract with Under Armour to wear the shoes. I'm pretty sure on his merchandise that he sells, there's an Under Armour logo. So you might have to go check that out for yourselves.
Yeah, I definitely will. I mean, I know he is or was an athlete, but no more for wrestling. I can't really think too much of brands and wrestling at the moment, but it's good to know. For Adidas, last one we got here. A lot of good talent for basketball. James Harden and Lillard, D-Rose, those guys you just think of immediately. They also have Dante Exum, Wiggins, Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine signed to Adidas. I think him getting signed to Adidas is huge for the brand, because he will be around for a while. He's doing great things right now. And even guys like Harden and Lillard, they're still going to be around producing for a good chunk. D-Rose, we've already seen him at his absolute best, which was amazing, but he's adapted really well to sticking around a little longer, giving Adidas some props. The other guys, Mitchell, he's going to be great. Wiggins, we'll have to see what else he's going to do. Exum, we already know what we think of Dante Exum. So.
Yep. Talked about that in last week's episode. Another, like, when it comes to celebrities, Adidas is packed. We got Kanye, Kylie Jenner. One of my least favorite people, don't at me, Pusha T.
Yeah, I feel like with Pusha T and Adidas, it's more just like with him and Kanye being friends little bit. I don't know. It's hard to market as a just like a rapper and not like more of an artist like Kanye is, because Kanye is way more vocal than Pusha T is going to be. But I haven't seen him do too much with the sponsorship.
Yeah, I think, and then Drake got petty, and now he's on the Jordan brand.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You like to see stuff like that, a little competition outside of sports.
Drake being part of Jordan Brand reminds me of that one time he suited up for the Kentucky layup lines. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that was a sight to see and a meme for years to come.
Yeah, I still remember it. I heard about it happening, so I saw what it actually looked like. He's looking at film with the rest of the team and Calipari, and I'm just like, okay, dude, you stick out like a sore thumb because you're fucking Drake.
Yeah.
And then, two, he's doing a little shoot around, and he, like, airballs, like, really bad on a shot. And I'm like, okay, that's why.
Dude, but for football, Adidas has it pretty covered. They got Mahomes, Juju, you got Dak, AP, and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you really can't lose with those guys.
Yeah. I think those ones are like pretty good. And for baseball, Adidas isn't that big right now, but they have Chris Bryant, who's probably the best Cubs player, probably one of the best players in the National League right now.
Yeah, they none of these brands are doing bad by any means. I mean, they're powerhouses because they focus where they need to all across all leagues. So it's going to be interesting to see for the upcoming future. Little side notes, we all know the NHL doesn't really have shoes or anything like that, but Reebok's presence there and sponsorships with equipment is big, so that's where they're getting their money. And then New Balance signing Kawhi Leonard recently. That is, I never thought I would see it, but it totally fits that.
What other, I'm pretty sure there was another basketball player who joined in Reebok or in New Balance.
Yeah, there are actually only two more besides Kawhi Leonard on the sponsorship with them right now. And I had to look them up, like Google them, because I just had no clue. But one of them is actually a rookie, like a late first rounder rookie. I can't remember his name right now. But
I didn't know that. Also for NHL, Bauer has the monopoly over there too for like all of their, for the jerseys, it's mostly Reebok. And I believe some skates are Reebok, but they have CM, and then they also have Bauer as like their main skates.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. You really don't see anything other than that over when it comes to hockey.
Yeah, I think at one time, if I remember this right, I believe Sidney Crosby was a Nike athlete.
Really? Oh yeah, no, I think you're right about that.
I think so. And then I don't know what happened after that, but I haven't really seen any of the brands that we've talked about, like, really in hockey.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with players switching too, because if you look at Kobe, he started out with Adidas, and if you Google image Kobe 2s, they are some of the worst shoes I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm not even trying to exaggerate. They look like some of the worst shoes ever. And then he goes over to Nike. You got the Kobe's, specifically the Kobe 8s, 9s, 10s are some of my favorite basketball shoes. So it really makes that much of a difference sometimes.
Yeah, isn't that, when did he do the Kobe systems?
For those, that was a little later into his career.
I remember growing up, Kobe systems were the sickest things because you could take them off and just wear them like as socks. Like you could take the lining off and just wear that if you wanted to.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. I mean, I don't know how much input Kobe himself had, but he definitely, it wouldn't surprise me if he designed that because he had like really good taste.
Yeah. All right, you want to go into the worst trades in sports history?
Yeah, worst trades. You love them and you hate them at the same time. Really just depends on your team. You can laugh with them or laugh at them. So let's look at some of the more recent ones. Obviously, we got to talk about the Houston Texans and the Bill O'Brien trade that kind of shook the entire world up. You got to look at the Herschel Walker trade because that started coming up once the Texans trade happened.
Yeah, I got a lot to say about that one. We'll get to that.
Yeah. I got the Bill Russell trade in basketball where it was going to be, he was going to go play for Kansas City, I'm pretty sure.
I thought Rochester Royals.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking other Royals. But yeah, the Royals, they made that trade with the Celtics and it was horrible in hindsight. And you have Babe Ruth for baseball, obvious with the Red Sox, and it just created a curse because it was so bad.
Yeah. Okay, first going into Bill Russell. So the Celtics had the second pick. Royals had the first pick. And the owner owned like this ice skating dance thing. I think it was called like the Ice Capades. He said, I'll bring him up to Rochester for 1 week if you don't pick Bill Russell at one. And he agreed to it. He didn't pick Bill Russell at one. Celtics picked Bill Russell at two. They had, what, 11 championships, and Rochester doesn't have an NBA team now. Right there is enough to say that it's one of the worst trades.
Yeah, that is, you'd never see anything like that nowadays, I feel like.
Yeah.
Which is nuts, and I still can't believe it happened. We got to talk about Herschel Walker for a little bit.
Oh, God. This is the sore part for me. I wasn't alive yet, but this, I know this hurts. I can tell from my dad's soul that it still hurts him. So, I don't remember what year it was, but Herschel Walker was an amazing running back for the Cowboys. And they traded him to the Vikings for 5 players and 6 picks. Basically set up the Cowboys dynasty for the entire 1990s. Because one of those picks was Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, that alone would have changed everything.
Yeah, and Herschel Walker, he didn't have a single 1,000 season or 1,000-yard rushing season with the Vikings at all.
Right. That's what kind of reminds me so much of this David Johnson trade coming up that already happened. Because with David Johnson, you never really know how bad he could really be after already hitting his prime. So that we might be seeing like kind of our generation's version of the Herschel Walker trade coming up.
You think so?
It could be. We'll have to see how bad it really is.
Huh. Going into Babe Ruth. So it's a lot of people don't know this, but like he was on the Red Sox for the longest time. And all the Yankees had to do to pry Babe Ruth away from the Red Sox was give them $100,000. Now, I don't know what that is at our currency based on inflation and stuff, but $100,000 does not seem enough for arguably one of the best players in baseball history.
Yeah, Babe Ruth was, it was such a bite back because you think, okay, you do this trade, no big deal, the Red Sox are going to recover from it and they'll get another championship later. Huge drought ever since that happened with Babe Ruth. I remember when they redeemed themselves all the way back in 2004. The reverse, the curse was still very prevalent then. And then you look at when the trade actually happened, that's how long of an impact it actually had.
Yeah. That's crazy. Wasn't it almost over 100 years?
It was, I think it was 81.
81? Oh, I'm getting confused with the Cubs.
Oh, right. Yeah, that one. Yeah, I remember that one too. That was good to watch. But, I want to talk about a trade that happened pretty recently, also with Houston. I mean, it's not one of the absolute worst trades, but it's a big why the hell did you do that kind of thing. It's the Rockets trade with CP3 and Westbrook.
Mm.
Because OKC has all these future draft picks coming up, and you look at the 2024 draft class, they got 2 picks in the first round. If they tank hard enough there, you could end up with Mikey Williams and Bronny James for OKC on the same team, which would shake everything up. Rockets don't really have any picks to go off of. With Westbrook in the backcourt instead of CP3, they have a bunch of usage issues going on with ball distribution. Both Harden and Westbrook want to score way too much when it really should just be more focused towards Harden's offense. And OKC has been doing great with CP3. People thought he was washed, old. Been making everyone on the team way better around him. And they actually have a very similar record at the moment. OKC's beaten Houston in the regular season every time in a series.
It's got to be Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah. I like watching Schroeder. And then I like watching Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who blew up this year with CP3. So... And Steven Adams is doing great, too, because he used to get out of the way for Westbrook to get some rebounds when Westbrook was still playing. So everyone's going to get better in the near future, and if they wanted to, they could even secure a future with these draft picks coming up in about 4 years.
Yeah, I feel that. Speaking about draft, honestly, in my opinion, I think one of the worst draft trades ever was trading Kobe from Charlotte to Lakers.
Yeah, I can't believe that happened either. at the time, it did make sense on paper. You got, what I believe, Vlade Divac, right?
Yep.
On the Hornets. And then Kobe. But Jerry West is just a genius, so it all worked out very well. And plus, with Kobe, it was a huge wild card because there were NBA players coming out of high school, but it wasn't too common. We had seen KG do it the previous year, but with Kobe, it was like, okay, this guy, he's great in Pennsylvania and like amongst other draft prospects coming out of high school, but is it too unpredictable? And we all saw it happen.
Yeah, we can't go with talking about GOATs without talking about Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that he got traded from the Oilers to the LA Kings for 3 first round picks, 2 garbage ass players, and $15 million.
I know. He's one of those players where he's so great, he really should be untradeable.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what.
They could literally throw the entire kitchen sink at the Oilers, and they should have been like, no.
Right. Because Gretzky's just, he's that much of a difference maker.
Yeah. I still can't believe that happened.
Well, I really hope we get to see some more crazy trades in the future. You like to see win-win trades a lot, too, but I feel like those don't happen that often where it really benefits either team. Like Luka and Trae Young.
Yeah.
Like, worked out pretty well for both teams. No one really hates them for doing what they did, but bad trades, okay. You can make jokes for days about them. So yeah. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I feel that. Do you have any more trades that you'd want to talk about?
Nah, that really finishes my list right now. What about you?
No, I'm done. Well, that's all the time we have for this podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you are listening to us on. Check out our Patreon for early and bonus episodes. Guys, we're recording these podcasts on Guitar Hero mics, so anything would help, really. Go follow us on all our social medias, Instagram at Intentionally Foul. Look us up on Facebook at Intentionally Foul. This has been an Intentionally Foul podcast. Bye.
Take it easy, y'all.